This message comes from Wall Street Journal sponsor C3 AI. C3 Generative AI equips enterprises with verified, traceable answers. It's secure, hallucination-free, LLM agnostic, and IP liability-free. Learn more at C3.ai. This is Enterprise AI.
A new report into how Credit Suisse lost billions.
There were people inside the bank who said, hey, guys, we're getting really exposed to this thing. We should rein it in. And that action wasn't taken.
Plus, the chip shortage is causing concern at Apple and why some airline passengers are now being bumped from their flights. It's Thursday, July 29th. I'm Mark Stewart with The Wall Street Journal. Here's the AM edition of What's News, the top headlines and business stories moving your world today. We begin in Washington, where a bipartisan group of senators have struck an agreement on a roughly $1 trillion infrastructure package after months of talks. The Senate voted 67 to 32 to begin consideration of the bill above the 60 required. It's a reversal of a failed effort a week earlier when many specifics of the deal were still under negotiation. Republican negotiators said they now had enough confidence in the details of the agreement to allow it to move forward. A plant in Baltimore that makes COVID-19 vaccines for Johnson & Johnson plans to resume production after it was shut down earlier in the year over severe contamination. That's according to a statement from Emergent BioSolutions, which runs the plant. In a letter seen by the journal, the Food and Drug Administration, which initially ordered the halt, said it did not object to manufacturing resuming at the plant. The FDA and Johnson & Johnson didn't immediately respond to requests for comment. Apple plans to require employees and customers to wear masks in many of its U.S. stores, regardless of their vaccination status. That's according to a memo sent to some of its workers. The new mask policy goes into effect today at more than half of its stores. The company earlier told staff in its corporate offices that they must wear masks inside even if they are vaccinated. And remember the container ship that blocked the Suez Canal for days and disrupted global shipping for weeks? Now the Ever Given vessel has pulled into port in the Netherlands, arriving this morning. Among the companies on today's earnings calendar, Amazon, Shell, MasterCard, and Yum Brands, the company behind Taco Bell, Pizza Hut, and KFC. We'll also be getting a look at weekly jobless claims as well as economic growth when GDP for the second quarter is released. And the investing platform Robinhood is expected to begin trading today on the NASDAQ after pricing its initial public offering at $38 a share. Apple is expressing concern about the effect of the computer chip shortage on some of its most popular products. WSJ Markets reporter Anna Hertenstein is joining me from London. Hi, Anna. Good morning.
Good morning, Mark.
So, Anna, Apple needs chips for its iPhones. What are we hearing from Chief Executive Tim Cook?
So Tim Cook said that Apple is also likely to start feeling the impact of this global chip shortage. Apple said that these supply constraints will likely affect its smartphones this quarter, which could contribute to a slowdown in growth. In April, the company said that its iPads and its Mac computers could be affected, and now it's the iPhones as well, so the situation is clearly worsening. And this shows that even the biggest companies with the most control over their supply chains are also getting impacted by this.
Okay, so we'll keep watch on Apple. Meantime, concerns from another high-profile corporate leader, that being Elon Musk from Tesla.
Yeah, we also heard similar comments from Elon Musk. He said that his Cybertruck could be affected by this. It's supposed to begin production later this year, but Musk said that in order for this to happen, they've got to solve the chip shortage.
Anna Hertenstein in London this morning. Anna, as always, thank you.
Thank you.
Just ahead, new insight into Credit Suisse's $5.5 billion loss from the Archegos collapse after the break.
This message comes from Wall Street Journal sponsor C3 AI. Insights. You need them to solve business problems, but buried in volumes of disparate data, they're seemingly invisible. C3 Generative AI enables business leaders to instantly access secure, hallucination-free, verifiable insights from a unified knowledge source, all with a natural language search. Turn the invisible into the obvious with C3 Generative AI. Learn more at c3.ai.
A new report released early today reveals the failures behind the scenes at banking giant Credit Suisse before it lost billions from its work with family investment firm Archegos Capital Management. You may remember back in the spring we reported about the huge collapse of Archegos and the multi-billion dollar fallout for the banks that it had been using to place its bets. Credit Suisse took the biggest hit, losing more than $5.5 billion. In the aftermath of that breakdown, a bunch of top bank executives quit or left. For more on the report and the consequences of this case, I want to bring in the WSJ's Alex Frangos into the conversation. He's our Europe finance editor and is based in London. Alex, it's always good to have you on the program.
Great to be here, Mark.
So, Alex, before we get to the report, can you just first remind us what went wrong here?
Basically, this Archegos Capital Management, run by a guy named Bill Huang, had made these huge concentrated bets in a few stocks across a bunch of Wall Street banks, basically going to each bank and saying, I want to make a really big bet here, a really big bet there. But he didn't tell the banks that he was making bets at the other places. And so when it all fell apart, they, you know, realized that this guy was much bigger than they thought he was and that the impact on all of them was going to be really, really huge, but it wasn't evenly spread. And so some of the banks, and Credit Suisse was the biggest, took the biggest hit. So there was more than $10 billion in losses across Wall Street, and more than half of those landed on Credit Suisse.
So Credit Suisse obviously is having to react to this. It commissioned a report. From what you've been able to glean so far this morning, tell me, what are some of the big takeaways from it?
I mean, I think the big takeaway is that they're blaming their managers for missing warning signs. I think there was a school of thought out there that they couldn't have seen this. It was impossible. You know, if Archegos was deceiving people, how could they have known? But the report is pretty clear that there were warning signs and there were people inside the bank who said, hey, guys, we're getting really exposed to this thing. We should rein it in. And that action wasn't taken.
So the bank has to reconcile these different schools of thought or these different opinions, basically, within its own ranks.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I think the report, which, you know, they paid a law firm to do this report, and I think they're, you know, incorporating the recommendations of the report, you know, basically to figure out what went wrong and fix it. So I think they're accepting the fact that this was a combination of, you know, employees, executives not doing the right thing, and also their systems being, you know, underinvested in, and, you know, not having the right kind of gizmos and all the computer systems that you need to flag these risks. And one of the remarkable things of the report is that they kept on making exceptions for Archegos. You know, Archegos would come to them and say, hey, can you give us a slightly better deal here? Kind of waive that thing that, you know, that, you know, that causes you to charge us more money when things get riskier. And the, you know, the bank sort of said, oh, okay, we'll do it because you're an important client and we don't want to lose you. And that went on for years. So this wasn't like, this didn't really come out of nowhere, is the conclusion of the report.
So then there's a question about the broader scale. Is there regulation in this area to prevent something like this from happening again?
I mean, I think that's something that's not so much in the report, because this is more about the bank's processes, but regulators are certainly, you know, there's investigations going on into Archegos, you know, all across the universe here. And, you know, that's one of the things they're going to try to figure out is like, this is not supposed to happen, right? After the financial crisis and all the trading losses that happened around there, the banks were, you know, reined in, and, you know, they're very closely watched. They have, you know, risk modeling systems that have to be approved by regulators. And, you know, so at some point there will be, you know, more to say on that. But right now the focus is more on the bank's internal failures.
And finally, Alex, since the journal first reported these problems earlier in the year, the situation with Credit Suisse has been watched with interest within the financial world. What's the ripple effect been in terms of how other banks look at their exposure to these types of risks?
I mean, I think everyone has taken a second and third and fourth look at to make sure that this wouldn't happen to them. And certainly some other banks took some losses, obviously UBS, Morgan Stanley, Nomura, you know, and so there, everyone is trying to figure out what went wrong on their side, and then looking at the banks that didn't lose money and figuring out if they did something right. I mean, it's scrambled things on Wall Street, and Credit Suisse is a pretty powerful player, and they're really wounded. And, you know, other banks are trying to take advantage. They've been hiring lots of star bankers from Credit Suisse and trying to steal their business. And, you know, this is, you know, kind of a classic prey on your wounded competitor situation.
Alex Frangos in London, thank you. Appreciate it.
Great to be here.
And finally, airline aggravation. Airlines' rampant schedule changes have confused and angered flyers. Travelers who bet on reopening and bought cheap tickets earlier this year are especially annoyed. Some claim that airlines are moving them to less convenient flights and times to make room for higher-paying customers as travel surges. Here's WSJ's Middle Sea columnist Scott McCartney.
I think the scope of the problem is enormous. Airlines are making schedule changes at an unprecedented pace. And this is having sort of the unintended, I think, consequence of really messing up people's travel plans. It's one of the reasons why phone lines are jammed and all, because people are having so much trouble with this. So basically, you buy one thing and the airline switches you to something else. And for some people, that's going to be okay. And for other people, the times are messed up, or they bought a nonstop and now they have to make a connection. And the whole reason why they bought that flight in the first place might be because it was a nonstop. So people really feel like there's a lot of baiting and switching going on.
Airlines deny that they're bumping customers who got deals, though some do move low-fare passengers before higher-fare customers when their frequent schedule changes create overbooked situations. And that's what's news for this Thursday morning. We'll be back tonight with a new show. If you like us, please rate and review us wherever you get your podcasts. I'm Mark Stewart with The Wall Street Journal. Thanks for listening.
This message comes from Wall Street Journal sponsor C3 AI. C3 Generative AI equips enterprises with verified, traceable answers. It's secure, hallucination-free, LLM agnostic, and IP liability-free. Learn more at c3.ai. This is Enterprise AI.